Well, thank you so much, Pastor Paulo. Good morning to everyone. I just want to thank Pastor Paulo and Pastor Joey for just asking me to share with you this morning. Again, Pastor Joey is, like Pastor Paulo mentioned, even to us, Victory Pastors is an example. He's a leader, he's a pastor, he's a friend. But also Pastor Paulo, as he shared, we have a long history together. It's just a privilege. I mean, something about Victory, the relationships, you know, the depth. We don't just work together, we do life together, quite honestly. So our families, we're friends, our wives are friends, our kids are friends, we're all friends, basically. So, and that's really the beauty of walking together for a long while. In fact, somebody posted this on Facebook. This was when we were in Russia. This is a young Pastor Paulo and Jen. That's myself and wife. That's Pastor Carlos and Belle, back when they were students. So not in love yet, but I guess na de-develop na. And then with some of our Russian disciples. Again, we have a long, long history together. I also want to just acknowledge Pastor Chris and Joanne. In fact, would you stand up? Pastor Chris and Joanne we worked together for about 10 years in Victory Quezon City. They had just moved here to Victory Fort a few weeks. So also, just a long history together, friends working together. But I also want to use them as an illustration. We're talking about local leaders today, raising local leaders in our mission churches. And, you know, Pastor Chris and Joanne were fruits of the Victory Church plant in the University of the Philippines, Diliman. In other words, they were reached there on campus, discipled, trained, became one of our finest pastors in all of Victory, and now here. In other words, if you give them a Mongolian face, that's what we're trying to do in Mongolia. If you give them a Tajik face, that's what we're trying to do in Tajikistan. Wherever we plant churches, we're looking for the Pastor Chris's and the Joannes of those nations. Okay, just a little advanced illustration. Would you just join me in honoring Pastor Joey, Pastor Paulo, Pastor Chris, James, just your fantastic leadership team here at Victory Fort. Now, this is my family. Okay, P&I, if Pastor Joey's going on 32 years, will be 20 years in January. My wife and I, Pia, they were actually at the 8 a.m. service. Sophia is our eldest, right beside my wife. She's a freshman at the University of the Philippines. Christina, our middle child, is a second-year high school student. And Luis, our only boy, is a freshman at Victory Christian High School. Now, again, Pastor Paulo mentioned we're actually concluding our annual World Mission Series. Now, if you notice, every year, there are certain series we do every year. We repeat. Of course, we have a Christmas series every year. I mean, we have to do a Holy Week series every year. And we absolutely must have a World Mission Series every year because it's our way of reminding ourselves as a spiritual family of our history, where we came from, and our destiny, where we are going. Okay, we were birthed through missions, and we will continue to grow through missions. And last week, we learned that the strategy of the Holy Spirit in reaching the world in the book of Acts was by planting churches in the key cities of the world. And today, we will learn another strategy of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, in that the way to raise strong, dynamic, cross-cultural church-planting churches is by raising national leaders. Now, most of you have heard the story. When Pastor Steve and Deborah first moved to Manila in the Philippines back in 1984, initially, they were here for a month. Now, that 1 month turned into 2 months. 2 months became 6 months. 6 months, 1 year. 1 year, 2 years. Long story short, 30 years later, they're still here. But in other words, when they were here in the first 2 years, they never were able to look further than 6 months. Because in their minds, in 3 months, we're leaving. Or in 1 year, we're gone. In 1 month, we're gone. In other words, they were leading with the idea of leaving. In other words, what that meant was, in the 3 months they're here, in their minds, we have to raise up local Filipino leaders who will continue the work when we board that plane in 3 months. Understand? So, we're extended 6 months. Okay, in the next 6 months, we have more time to raise up more, but same story, more Filipino local leaders who will continue the work when we're gone. In other words, they were leading with the idea of leaving. And that's why you've heard of that Victory saying, one chapter ahead. And that's been a saying, but really it's been more a philosophy of Victory. You only have to be one chapter ahead so that you can disciple the other guy or lead a small group. Just stay one chapter ahead in the Bible. That's all that qualifies you to lead. Now, personally, I met Christ on campus at the University of the Philippines back in 1988. We had no one-to-one yet back then. So I got saved on a Sunday. So the very next day on campus on a Monday, so I already was part of a small group. Somebody was already discipling me because there was no material, no one-to-one. Our discipleship was the next day, very next day, day two of my walking with God, we went around campus preaching the gospel to the students. I just heard the gospel yesterday. First time in my life to hear the gospel. And then the very next day, I'm walking around sharing the gospel to other people. Again, just one chapter ahead. Now, what this means in the mission field, when we send long-term cross-cultural Filipino missionaries, is from the very first day, once they land in the city, whether that's Tashkent, whether that's Kabul, whether that's Beijing, is that from day one, they're already engaging local students. Because they're already working themselves out of a job. They're looking for the Chris Floreses, the Joanne, what was her maiden? Belardos, okay, of China or of Tajikistan or of Afghanistan, because they're looking for the guys who will take their place someday. Our Filipino missionaries don't stay forever. They're in and then they're out. They lead so they can leave. They plant a church so they can turn it over to the locals. That's the dream of every Victory Church plant. In fact, if you look at this picture, going back to Pastor Steve, let's go back to that picture. That was a random photo. But next slide. It was a random photo they put in the PowerPoint, but in this group of young people, 10 of those young guys in that picture today are pastors here in Victory Metro Manila, including ultra-thin Pastor Jun Escasar here at the front row, okay, 50 pounds ago, right? So again, because from the very first day, they were looking for people to take the work over. Now, here's the thing. In the mission field, it's easier said than done. Because when you engage a local guy, for example, in Bangladesh, you're talking about a wholly different worldview. You're talking about a totally different belief system, a Muslim belief system. So you're engaging the guy, you're preaching the gospel, but you're challenging his worldview, you're questioning his belief system, you're helping him navigate culture and tradition, you're helping him walk through persecution in the family, in society, in culture, you're discipling him, you're training him, but still, it's harder, it's longer, but if we're serious about discipling nations, there's no other way than raising national leaders. So again, that's been our heart, that's been our vision here in every nation. But we realized this was really the hand of God. It was really something we stumbled into, but looking back now, it was the hand of God, again, to help us develop that value for leadership development. But when we read the book of Acts, only to find out, it's been God's strategy all along. So if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, 23 to 28 is our main text for last week and this week. And last week we focused on the number of cities that Paul hit or planted churches at during his first missionary journey. Our focus this week is the other thing he did. He planted churches, but there's another thing he did in verse 23. And when they had appointed elders, or in other words, local leaders, for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had commended to the grace of God, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. When they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So if you remember, last week, Paul was in Antioch with Barnabas. And then on their first missionary journey, they went all the way to Derbe, which was the easternmost edge of the Roman Empire. But in between, they planted churches in the key cities of the Roman Empire between Antioch and Derbe, right? Now, once they got to Derbe, the easternmost edge, they went back to Antioch, but they went back to the same cities where they planted churches. Now, on their way to Derbe, they planted churches. On their way back to Antioch, they went back and installed local leaders. So Paul's strategy was to plant churches and then raise up local leaders in each key city of the Roman Empire. Now, all of this took about 12 months for Paul to do his first missionary journey. So he never stayed longer than 3 months in any one city where he planted a church and installed local leaders. In other words, Paul was the original pastor who led with an idea of leaving. Never stayed longer than 3 months. But in those 1 month, 2 months, or 3 months where he stayed, he was able to plant a church and raise up local leaders. And that's why Paul was not only a pioneer missionary church planter, really, he's a pioneer in leadership development. In fact, he told Titus in chapter 1, verse 5 of Titus, he instructs Titus to appoint elders or local leaders in every town. See, in each city, they didn't just plant one church. There were multiple churches. And Paul said, in every town, you appoint local leaders. And again, in every nation, that's what we've tried hard to do. That's been our vision. That's been our passion. And again, we're in 76 nations of the world, but we're happy to say, at least from the Philippines in particular, of the churches that Victory Philippines has planted overseas, we've raised up local leaders in every nation, but we have fully turned the churches over to national leaders in China, in Myanmar, and in Laos. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about some of the local leaders we've raised there. Over in China, one of our senior pastors that we raised there, when he met Christ, actually when he met our Philippine missionary team, he had never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. He had never seen a Bible in his life. In fact, he was awarded by the Chinese Communist Party as one of the top leaders as a student in his university. Then he met Christ. Okay, over in Myanmar, one of our pastors today, but before he became a Christian, you know what he was? He was a professional comedian. Okay, but see here in Manila, if you're a professional comedian, where do you do your gigs? In clubs, right? Comedy clubs. In Myanmar, in their culture, you know where he did his comedy routines? At funerals. Yeah, because in their culture, actually, there's some logic to it. Because in their culture, if people are sad during a funeral, you have to make them feel better. So they hire comedians. So that's what our pastor did. He would, you know, they would pay him, I don't know, $10. And then he would, you know, crack all his jokes, make everyone funny. In our culture, you hire crying ladies, make people more sad. But in their culture, you want to make them more happy. So here's our former pastor, a professional comedian. What being a comedian has to do with pastoring, I have no idea. But he's doing a good job in Myanmar. Okay, over in Laos, two of our local leaders, Laotian leaders that we just ordained less than a year ago, Arthit, the guy in the middle, was a Buddhist monk for 7 years. I mean, shaved head, orange robe, lived in the monastery, 7 years. Lee, who's our senior pastor, the guy with glasses, on his first Sunday service at Every Nation Laos. Laos is a communist nation. Our church is underground. You know what he did? As soon as we dismissed, he reported the church to the police. Today, he's our senior pastor. Now, think about this. Some of the local leaders we've raised, former communist, professional comedian, Buddhist monk, police informant. I mean, hardly the profile you're looking for in a potential pastor. But these are the guys who are now leading our churches in those nations. Let's give God a big hand. You know what? They may not have it all together, but they love their people. They love Jesus Christ. They want to disciple their nation. And they know how to build a church in their nation. They can do. We love our missionaries. Some of our Filipino Victory missionaries are some of the finest in the world. I'm proud of them. But no Filipino missionary can ever do what these guys are doing in their nation. That's why we're committed to raising local leaders. In fact, you know, the reason Paul was so empowering of young leaders. Imagine 1 month, 4 week old Christians he would install as pastors over the churches. He was so entrusting and empowering because that's how Barnabas discipled him. You remember all how, you know, Paul's account of meeting Christ is in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. But in verse 20 of Acts chapter 9, same chapter, just 11 verses after meeting Christ, verse 20 says, immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Just 11 verses after getting saved. You're talking about a few days. Just a few days after meeting Christ on the road to Damascus, the Bible says, immediately, he was preaching the gospel. The NIV says, at once. In other words, no time wasted. The very next day, maybe that afternoon, Paul was already preaching the gospel. In verse 28, just 19 verses later, it says, Paul went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Within 19 verses, within several days, at most a few weeks of meeting Christ, Paul was preaching the gospel all throughout the city, all throughout Judea and Samaria. That's how empowering Barnabas was. That's why Paul was so empowering and trusting of young guys. Now, some of you are wondering, isn't that risky? I mean, to appoint and install local leaders so quickly and so fast, having known Christ just a few weeks or a few months. Well, yeah. But anything worth doing involves risk. Actually, then we wouldn't be planting churches in restricted nations if we wanted to play it safe. So there's definitely risk. But Paul was willing to take that risk. Paul didn't want one big church with him as the senior, just one single leader. Paul wanted multiple churches, multiple leaders, because he had a world vision. Now, did Paul's leaders make mistakes? Of course. That's why we have all the epistles. If you read the epistles, it was Paul writing to the churches and to his leaders, correcting some of their mistakes. But he did not reverse his strategy of raising up local leaders. Again, he mentored them, he coached them, but he kept planting churches and kept raising up local leaders. In fact, one of those guys that we raised, Jackie, back in China, then the guy who had never heard of Jesus, never read the Bible when he got saved, he had just been walking with Jesus for 4 years. Just 4 years. Now imagine, 4 years since first hearing the name of Jesus. 4 years since first seeing a Bible in his life. So practically a baby Christian. 4 years walking with God, there was a security breach at that local church in China. So within 3 or 4 days, our Filipino missionary decided he had to pull out for the sake of the church, come back to the Philippines. So guess what? Here's Jackie. He just finished one-to-one. Jackie, congratulations. You know what the next step is? No, what? You're now the senior pastor of this church. It's Sunday today. I leave on Thursday. You're preaching next Sunday. Good luck. God bless you. Bye-bye. Now, did Jackie make mistakes? Of course he made mistakes. We had to go back every year. Jackie would cry to us, tell of all the, not bad, but all the mistakes he made. We would, himas, that's okay, everyone did, no problem. Give him a few tips, we would leave again, he would lead again, make mistakes again, we would come back again the year after, he would cry again, himas na naman, and then a few more tips, go back again, we'll be praying for you, don't worry, we're behind you. You know, today, he's one of the finest senior pastors in all the world, honestly. And really, he's one of the national leader for every nation in China. In fact, I just remember now, that comedian? So Jackie was the guy who just heard of Jesus. That comedian. Myanmar today is open, actually. But not too long ago, maybe as recent as 4 or 5 years ago, Myanmar was a highly restricted nation. So churches were underground. Now, one Sunday, that comedian who's now a pastor was preaching. Our church there, they're all students, high school, university students. All of a sudden, this older gentleman pops up into the crowd. Immediately, while preaching, our pastor there knew who that guy was. That's a spy from the police. In other words, he's preaching there, but in his heart, oh no, we've been discovered. We've been found out. So in his mind, there's really only 3 options. Number 1, close the church down. Number 2, go into hiding. Or number 3, and this is what he decided on number 3, he knows us now anyway. What's the point of hiding? Might as well introduce myself to him this week. And so he decides to meet up with that police chief. He emails me, please pray. This is what's going to happen. This is what happened. This is what I'm going to do. Please pray for a favor. So that week, he goes to the police precinct, meets up with the police chief. Hi. Hello, sir. Good morning. I know I don't have to introduce myself. You know who I am. You know what the police told him? Oh, I know who you are. Don't worry. What you're doing is good. Okay, what you're doing to our young people is what our nation needs. So don't worry. I'll protect you. If anything ever goes wrong, I'll be the first to protect you. If anyone's going to spy on you or check on you, I'll tell you ahead of time. Keep doing what you're doing. Reach the young Burmese, plant churches, disciple them, train them for the good of this nation. No Filipino missionary can do that. Now, see, the greater mistake is to wait too long to raise up local leaders. See, in Victory, we have a very empowering culture. We would rather you make a mistake trying to do something for God than not make a mistake because you want to play it safe. In other words, we would rather you make a mistake because you're trying to preach the gospel to your neighbor than not make a mistake because you're not engaging him at all. We would rather you make a mistake trying to start a small a victory group in your office than not make a mistake because you're trying to play it safe in your office. So go ahead. Take the gospel out there and feel free to make mistakes and then let Pastor Paolo pray for you and you know figure it out. Amen? But keep doing the job. So that's what every nation is about. You know, one of my favorite guys out there is Tom from Timor-Leste. Let's show his picture. Okay, Tom got saved 2 years ago at Timor-Leste as a student, just like any typical university student, just like Pastor Paolo, drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer, I mean, everything, did everything. Got radically saved through the gospel to our Filipino missionaries. Today, he's a top student in his university. And not only does he do one-to-one among his classmates, he helped translate one-to-one into his own language, Tetun. He's now a volunteer staff at Every Nation Timor-Leste, preaches on Sundays. Now, some are saying, oh, sorry, last year he attended Ignite, our student campus conference, got a call from God to be a full-time campus missionary after he graduates back in Timor-Leste. Now, some say, isn't that too soon to get him up there preaching on a Sunday? He's only walked with God a year at the time, probably hasn't read through the entire Bible, and now he's preaching. Isn't that too soon? Yeah, it's too soon. But listen, we believe in Tom. I believe we can do it. We believe he's a future senior pastor of the church. And we believe that's what God wants for us to do in every nation where we have a church. See, we don't plant Filipino churches. We plant national churches. If we plant a church in China, that's a Chinese church. It's not a Filipino church. If you plant a church in Timor-Leste, that's a Timorese church, not a Filipino church. When we go to Afghanistan, that's an Afghan church, not a Filipino church. And for us to do that, for us to disciple those nations, we need to raise those local leaders. You know, our first leader in Afghanistan, his name is Shafiq. He came to Manila a couple of years ago. Some of you might have met him. Got so radically saved. Now, let me say that again. He's an Afghan high school student at the time. Muslim, obviously grew up Muslim all of his life. Got so radically saved. The next day, he was preaching the gospel to his classmates in his high school. Now, how many of you know you don't preach the gospel openly in Kabul, Afghanistan? So within 24 hours, his uncles and brothers were hunting him down to kill him, literally. So we had to hide him. He had to sleep in a different house every night for the next 6 weeks until we were able to take him out into Tajikistan. Tajikistan is a neighboring Muslim nation. But Shafiq was so on fire. He was preaching to the guy in the airport next to him, preaching at the airplane to the guy seated. He got a middle seat, preached to this guy, then preached to this guy. When he got to Tajikistan, still preached the gospel, got arrested by the police, preached the gospel in the precinct. The police, just, you silly kid, just kicked him out. Get out of here. Went out on the street, started a small group of 17 Tajiks, all former Muslims. Listen, he's only known Christ for 6 weeks. Already, he has a small group in Tajikistan of 17 former Muslims. That's the power of reaching locals. You know, one of the most moving stories for me is in another communist nation for us. One of our local leaders told our Filipino missionary, when the police comes, not if, but when they come, don't worry. I will go to prison for you. I will claim. I'll stand up and I'll claim to be the senior pastor, even though he was just a student. I'll claim to be the senior pastor. I'll take your place in prison. But keep planting this church. Keep reaching our people. Keep reaching the young people. And finally, one last story, and then we'll start to close. In a radically Muslim nation, very backward, so no cell phones. I mean, there are, but you know, it's not as reliable. Our local pastor, reached by our missionary, who was a former Al-Qaeda terrorist, told our missionary one day, he said, you know, I have a friend in this remote village. Let me go visit him for 3 days. Now, this guy is another radical preaching machine. So just 3 days. But again, when he goes, they knew there's no contact, no communication. I'll be back in 3 days. Okay, fine. So he's gone 3 days. On the fourth day, still wasn't back. Fifth day, still not back. Sixth day, still not. After a week, still not back. So after a week, our missionary emailed me, Michael, please be praying for Z. He said he'll be back in 3 days. It's been a week. He's not back yet. I'm very worried. 2 weeks later, still not back. 3 weeks after, Z comes back. So our missionary, what happened to you? You know, you said you'll be gone for 3 days. It's been 3 weeks. What happened? And then Z said with kindness, well, you know, I went to that village, right? I had a friend. Yeah, yeah. Turns out, the village elder is a friend of mine also from the madrasa, which is a Muslim, you know, Quranic school, seminary, kind of. I knew the village leader too, so I preached the gospel to him. He gets radically saved. So the village leader calls the entire village, tells me to preach the gospel to the whole village. The whole village gets saved because the village leader himself is now a Christian. So there's revival. So I couldn't leave him. I have to disciple them and follow them up. Now the neighboring village heard of the commotion in this village. So the village leader talked to this village leader. What's happening in your village? You really want to know? Yeah, I want. Okay, I'll send you my friend. So Z goes to the other village, preaches the gospel, and the whole village gets saved. So for 3 weeks, he had to stay to disciple and follow up those guys. Again, as amazing as our Filipino missionaries are, there's no way they could do what Z did in those two villages. There's no way they could take the place of somebody else in prison. Okay, there's no way, you know, a professional, they could take the place of a professional comedian who knows the police chief. Again, it takes planting churches and raising national leaders. Now, I shared all those stories to let you know that all of us here are a part of something bigger than just Victory Fort. Bigger than Victory Philippines. We're a part of what God is doing through every nation around the world. And it takes all of us really together, partnering together, joining together to help reach every nation. All of us have to pray, all of us have to give, and all of us have to go. Just very quickly, this is our roadmap for the next 6 years. Our plan is to reach 3 new nations without an every nation church every year from since last year to 2020. If we do that, we will have an every nation church in all of Asia, actually, and beyond. And so far, the next slide, the ones with the check marks already have Victory missionaries and churches. So our focus, basically, in the next 15 months, from today until December 2015, are Cairo, Egypt, the most influential city in the Arab world. You want to reach the Arab world? You reach Cairo. And you learned last week in Cairo University alone, 250,000 students in one university. You want to reach the Arab world? You reach Cairo University. Okay, Turkmenistan, Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, Almaty, Kazakhstan, Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, and actually it's not there, we had to add another nation, Suva, Fiji, all in the next 15 months. So if you have contacts, friends, relatives in any of those nations, actually, one of the Victory Group leaders at Victory Fort is already in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, starting a small group, preparing the church plant in that nation. So please pray for those cities, pray for those nations, pray for our missionaries. So pray. Second is give. If all of us, Victory members, give just 250 pesos a month, that's all, 250 pesos a month, we can reach every nation. And finally, all of us can go. All of us can be part of a 10-day team, just 10 days out of the year to help reach a nation. In fact, Victory Fort is sending 10-day teams next year to Guangzhou, China, Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam, and Kathmandu, Nepal. Okay, last year, 2014, all of Victory Philippines sent 92 teams to 21 nations. Next year, 2015, we're sending 90 teams to 28 nations. That averages about to 2 teams a week that Victory Philippines sends out into the nations. And finally, just in closing, can it really be done? Can we reach every nation? Let me just turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Yes, we can, because it is the purpose of God. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and our message is the finished work of Jesus on the cross. There's no way we can fail. If we're right in the center of the will of God, if we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and if we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no way we can fail. All we are, this verse says, are witnesses. We just have to proclaim what Christ has done in our lives, and we can literally reach every nation. Amen? Could I just pray for all of you? Is that okay? Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? And then we'll show a video, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Paolo. Lord Jesus, first of all, thank you for the gospel that changed our lives. Lord, we thank you. The gospel is not an individual message. It's not a local message. It's a global message. And so, Lord, our heart as followers of Jesus Christ is to be witnesses, not just in Taguig, not just in Manila or the Philippines, but as that verse says, to the ends of the earth. And Lord, our prayer simply is that you would show us how we can get involved by praying, by giving, and by going. Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning as they sow into the nations, that you bless them 100-fold so they can be blessed to be a blessing to the nations of the world for no other reason, Lord, but so that your name would be honored in every nation. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.